Yud Cheshvan, Friday, the 11th of November, Harav Agon, Rav Usher Weiss, in Yone Shabbos.
That's the whole introduction, I get.
This is for starters.
Good morning, everyone. So this is the Torah way. My institutions in Yerushalayim are called Darkei Torah, which translate into the Torah ways. There might be many ways, but you've got the way. Not the one of many, but the exclusive one. So this is the Torah way. Nothing is more beautiful than starting off your day with Talmud Torah. So a Jew gets up in the morning, the first thing he says is Moed ani lefonecho, then he rushes to shul to daven. And when he's over with his davening, opens the Gemara and learns a shiur, and that is really the Torah way. That's the way to start off a new day, and the schus of this wonderful organization. I wish you all great hatzlacha. So I was asked to speak about Hilchos Shabbos. One could speak all his life about Hilchos Shabbos and barely delve into the depth and the breadth of Hilchos Shabbos. Arucha me'eretz midor achodem eniyan. But we will be discussing briefly today one of the most fundamental yesoides topics in Hilchos Shabbos, which also has a great significance and a great mashmos halacha lemaisa. The concept of groma. And as technology becomes more complex, available, and friendly, there are more and more possibilities of harnessing technology to create various different forms of groma, as some organizations do. So, in a very basic way, of course, the intentions are wonderful, and sometimes it is important. And being very intimately involved with with a million complex questions in Israel and abroad, from the medical establishment, as the Poisek and Shaarei Tzedek Hospital and hospitals throughout the world turn to me, and with the security establishment in Israel and its many branches, I do recommend that any activity that remotely involves pikuach nefesh, sofek and svekishel pikuach nefesh, and when you're dealing with huge organizations, like the IDF, or the Mossad, or the police in Eretz Yisrael, or hospitals, it is really impossible to define everything, every detail. Would it be defined as sufik bekoach nefesh or not? And therefore, I do recommend using groma devices just to try to steer clear from a cheshash malocha diuraisa. However, my real opinion is that one cannot use any groma device unless we really have a suffix pikuach nefesh situation. And why is that? So regarding groma and Shabbos, there are two basic sugyas. Two basic sugyas that seem to contradict each other. On one hand, we learn in Shabbos kuf chof omud beis. And that is aloha psukin Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. Gram kibui mutar. Meleches kibui, extinguishing fire in an indirect way, is mutar. And the Lashon of the Gemara is mutar. Most of the Rishonim maintain there is no issur involved, no issur whatsoever. There is a Das Yochid, which is the Mordechai. On the spot there in Shabbos Dav Kufchov, the Mordechai says, Gram Kibui is permissible only by Mokem Pseider. If there is no monetary laws, it would be an issur Rabbonim. Definitely is not an issur Yuraisa, because the Gemara explains, Asiya Osru Toiro Ho Grom Sharia. The Lashon of the Gemara is loisasun kol malocha, so the Torah prohibits asiya, but grom is not defined as asiya, therefore gram kibumitro. The Ramon shin lamedalet, and Shulchan Aruch Chaim is choishesh l'das Mordechai, and the Ramon paskins gram kibui would be acceptable, permissible, only the mokoim say. So that's the Gemara Shabbos Kufchof Amid Beis. But then we have another sugi in Bava Kama Samach Omedalet. And the Gemara in Bava Kama asks, what is the difference between Dina and Ezekin? In Ezekin, once again, there is a Din, Gromen ben Ezekin, Poto. So what is the difference between Dina and Ezekin, in which we learn, Libo ve libiso eish, if a person stokes a fire, My English isn't very good, so if I have any mistakes, just please correct me. So if a person stokes a fire, but on his own he would not be able to bring that fire into full capacity, and the wind helps along. There's a breeze, the wind. So the fact that he is stoking the fire together with wind caused the fire to develop and to spread and to cause damage to other people's homes or possessions. He is potter, because that is considered a grummer. It is not only his koyach. It is utilizing, taking advantage of a natural force to achieve what you want. And banezukin is potter. Zoyra varuach messiah sorchayv. One of the lamates malochas is malacha zoyra. Zoyra, I think, translates as widowing. And it is the first of various malochas that are geared to separating oichel from psoilus. So how does one do zoyra? You throw the taroides into the wind, and the heavier particles, the grain, falls down, and the psoilus, which is lighter, is blown away by the wind, and that is one of the lamates malochas. So the Gemara asks, he as well is taking advantage of the wind. It's not his own personal koyach. So why, regarding Shabbos, he's chayev, and regarding Nezikin, it's defined as grumav and Nezikin potter. There are four terutzim in the Gemara, but the Rambam and the Rosh bring only number four, and that is Shani Shabbos, the Malachas Machshavos Asur Torah. Shabbos is different. And even a grumav that would be considered grumav regarding Din and Nezikin is considered Masav Lagabi Shabbos. Why? Malachas Machshavos Asur Torah. And Rashi explains, Vaharei Naaseis Machshav. But he achieved his goal. He achieved his objective. And that was his intention. And therefore, that is considered Malachas Machshavos and Yischayev. So why would that be different than Gram Kibui? This, what? Chayev. Of course, it's Diuraisa. If it's one of Lamates Malachas, obviously, it's got to be Diuraisa. So that is the question of some of the Achroinim. Why would that be different than Gram Kibui? What is the situation, the Gram Kibui scenario? There's a fire at home, and one of Lamates Malachas says, Kibui, you can't put out a fire. So he fills vessels with water and puts them around a perimeter around the fire, and when the fire will become bigger and the heat will become intense and those vessels will break apart, they'll disintegrate and the water will come pouring out, and that is also Naaseh Smachshavtoi. That is what he had in mind. So what is the difference between the two? And it's extremely interesting that none of the Rishonim asked this obvious question. And one of the assertions I teach my Talmidim, if you have, you know, the biggest kashas demand the most simple terutzim. Because we need to ask ourselves, this contradiction is so obvious. So where were Rashi and Tosfos and the Ramban and the Rashma and the Ritva and the Ran? Why didn't they ask this question? So it's not enough to give an answer. The answer needs to be so poshut. And the answer needs to explain why the Rishonim didn't see this as a contradiction in the first place, and they didn't even ask the question. So some of the major Achroinim do ask this question, but it is surprising that none of the great Rishonim. You know, the Maharshal was a big chosid of Gedolei Ashkenaz, of Baalei HaTosfos. And Bachal, he was a very harshly outspoken Gadol. If any, you know, if you're familiar with the Maharshal, goes to the extent that the Noi Divyudi writes in Tunyona, Evan as a Nun Dalet, when somebody asks on the Mashal from a Rashbo, and the Noi Divyudi wonders, he says, you don't reject the Mashal from a Rashbo. They're on the same plane. I don't mean plane, airplane. They're on the same plane. Liboy hoyu kalevu ari, vahoyu choyla kalkola rishonim. So the Noi Divyudi wonders on somebody that wants to reject the Mashal from the Rashbo. So the Mashal was a big chosid of Gedolei Ashkenaz. I don't think anybody else 400 years ago would dare to write that Rabbeinu Tam was far greater than the Rambam. I didn't say that. But that is what the Mashal said. And he describes the immense chidush of the Baalei HaTosfos. Also was kola Talmud ki kadur v'gilgeluhu memakom lemakom. That's the way the Mashal describes the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri and the great Baalei HaTosfos. They took the entire Talmud and rounded it as if into a ball, and they were, you know, throwing it or rolling it. Yeah, I didn't want to say kicking, chas v'sholom, but they were rolling the ball. Memokem lemokem. And they, with their scope, saw the entirety of Shas, beskira achas, and they took it all in, and all the contradictions, and that's the way they were mechadesh halachas. That's the way they were, they built Torah. So, this theater seems to be so obvious. And the Balei Tosfos and the Rishonim don't talk about it. We're not. The chilek between Ezekiel and Shabbos is simple. That was not our question. The question is, what is the difference between the Sugim Baba Kama Samech and the one in Shabbos Kuf Chav? Why Zodav Aruach Messiah Soy Chayev Malach Moshevis? So why would Shabbos Kuf Chav not be considered Malach Moshevis? There too, he has intention. Both Sugis are Shabbos. Both Sugis are Shabbos. Zodav Aruach Messiah Soy Chayev, even though he's taking advantage of the wind. Gram Kibui Chayev Potor. He's taking advantage of a natural phenomenon, natural force of heat. Okay, so the first that asks this question is Shilta Geboirim. Shilta Geboirim Andarif. Many people mistakenly think that Shilta Geboirim is a Rishon because he pushed himself, he pushed his way in to the seats of the Rishonim. You know, as he has a prime seat right at the of the left of the Rif. The reason he got that seat is because he quotes the Riaz, and the Riaz was one of the Rishonim, so obviously that's the way he got that seat, right next to the Ran and the Rif. But the Shilta Geboirim himself lived 450 years ago in the days of the Beis Yosef, and he is not one of the Rishonim, but he is the first that asked this question. And his teretz is very interesting and not very reasonable. The Shilta Geboirim says that in Gram Kibbu he has no intention of putting out the fire. His intention is merely to prevent the spreading of the fire. And therefore that would not be considered Malachas Moshevis, Lagabe Malachas Kibbu, and that's why it's Mitra. Even though it's a very questionable teretz, because, yes, he doesn't want the fire to spread beyond that point, but he's aware that the only way to prevent the spread of fire is by putting it out. Because what stands in the way of that fire is not the vessels. He filled those vessels up with water with a very clear intention, because if there wouldn't be any water, the vessels would break up, the fire would spread, and his house would be consumed. So ultimately, he wants to put out that fire. The reason he wants to put out the fire is because he doesn't want to lose his house, but it's very difficult to say that he has no intention of putting out the fire. That is precisely what he wants to do, because the only way to prevent his house from burning down is by putting out that fire. So that is approach number one. Approach number two is the Zera Emes, one of the great Svadish of Poiskim going back more than 200 years. Zera Emes, Chilak Alef Simemen Dalad. And he says the difference is, regarding Gram Kibui, it is not immediate. The man puts away those vessels and then goes to say to Hillim that his complex idea should work out. So there is no immediacy. It's a process that will take time till it will come into fruition. And therefore, in that case, we do not say Malachas Moshevis as the Torah. But when winnowing, it is immediate. The result is immediate. As the person throws the taroides into the wind separates oichel from psoilus, and immediacy is the key to the nafkamina between the two sigyas. That is the approach of the Zera Emes. Approach number three is the Achiezer. And I present the three in chronological order. The Achiezer was in the last generation before the Chorban of European Jewry. Reb Chaim Oizer was one of the outstanding Gedoy Lador. And an Achiezer Chel Gimel Zemar. He says, he suggests a third approach. And according to the third approach, it depends on the nature of the Malocha and the way it's done, the fashion in the way it's done. So winnowing, that's the way to do it. That's the way you do it throughout the week. And in days of yore, there was no other way to do it. They didn't have electricity, they didn't have machines, so that's the way it's done. And because that is the normal fashion of a Siyasa Malocha, it could be considered Malachas Moshevis. But when you have a fire in your home, the normal way to put out the fire is to take buckets of water and pour them on the flames. in the middle of the week, it would be the craziest idea, filling up vessels, and you know, you're not going to have a pot to cook in tomorrow, or you know, be a mekeda, most of the kelim were klecheres, and that is not the proper fashion, and that is not the way you would do it, if not trying to prevent the malacha on Shabbos, and therefore it would not be considered malachas moshabbos. So according to the Chaim Oizer, the defining factor is the fashion of the Siyas Malacha. And Malachas Machshevish requires not only intent, but also the proper way of doing a Malacha. And only then could it be considered Malachas Machshevish. According to the Zera Emes, it depends, is it immediate or will it take time? And according to the Shulti Gevoilim, who was the first that asked this question, it depends really on your intention. And as I explained, the Shulti Gevoilim is a big doichak, so if we have to choose, we would choose one of the other two approaches. So in Minchas Osherim, various different places in my Svorim, I suggested maybe approach number four, which is based on a similar dilemma that we find in Dinei Nezikin Gufo, Gromei Benezikin Potter. However, there's a sugi in various sources in Shas, Dinei Degarami Chayiv. So regarding Nezikin, we also differentiate between one groma and a different type of groma. So the Rishonim deal with a similar question as the Gemara deals with, but the Gemara asks, Ma bein Shabbos l'nezikim? The Achroinim ask, Ma bein Shabbos l'shabbos? What is the difference between the two sugyas of Shabbos? The Rishonim ask a similar question, Ma bein nezikim l'nezikim? On one hand, we say Grome ben Ezekin Potro. What's the basic example of Grome ben Ezekin? There's an animal, a wild bull, in an enclosure. And then a person comes, he breaks down the door. He didn't do any nezek. We're not dealing with the cost of the door. But the animal came charging out and killed other animals. It killed a cow, it killed a horse. Who has to pay? Who has to compensate the owners of those animals that were killed, that were destroyed? Is it the Baal HaShor? The Baal HaShor says, my animal was locked up. It was no danger at all. But the person that opened the door, broke down the door, he's a groma. And the Gemara says, groma ben Ezekiel Potter. Sorev shteroisev shel chaveir chayim. So there are two drachim and toises. Bava basa daf chav beis. One derech is, the Nezek is immediate. You destroyed his shtar, you took away the means for him to collect his money. But by putting together b'fnei behemes chaveroi, it's not immediate. It will happen later. And that is totally similar to the Zera Emes Lagabi Shabbos. So the chilek that the Zera Emes suggests Lagabi Shabbos has a base out. It has a source and a similar differentiation that Tosfos suggests regarding the difference between Grome ben Ezekin, that is Potter, and Dina de Garmi, that is Chayev. So, now we're not dealing with Niske Bor, we're dealing with Niske Shor. For various reasons, this would not be considered a Bor. What defines a Bor is, the Bor is always static. But this animal goes out and is Mazik, and therefore it's not considered a Bor. So I say, if the Zera Emes has a base of one Teretz and Toises, why shouldn't we suggest adopting the other Teretz and Toises as well? So the other approach in Toises says, it doesn't depend whether it's immediate or not. It depends whether it's imminent, whether it's a Vaday or a Sofek. So if Shtoroisev Shel Chaveiroi, the Nezek is beyond doubt. He has no Shtar. He doesn't have the means to collect his money. But Poetz Gede Befnei Behemes Chaveiroi, the bull might come out and might cause damage, but maybe not. It's not of a dos. So the fact of doubt, the doubt factor differentiates between Garmi and Gromi. And I would say the same regarding Hilchos Shabbos. So Zoyra Beruach is definitive. The wind is blowing. The psoilus is light. The grain is heavier. That's the way it works. That's the way it works since Adam Arishon, since man was around. But with fire, you can never know. The fire might spread even though the water was poured. Maybe the vessels won't break up. Maybe the fire will die down before we even having those vessels break up. So maybe the factor of doubt is the chilik between Baba Kama Daf Samech and Shabbos Daf Kufa Bamud Beis. However, the entire contradiction isn't relevant only according to Perish Rashi and not according to the Rosh. So my conclusion, based on the general feeling I voiced before, and that's a big yesoid by me in Darkei HaTalmud, in the Torah way, that's a big yesoid which I teach my Talmidim. If you have an obvious kasha, the Rishonim don't ask this kasha, then obviously they felt it is not a kasha. Because the Baalei HaTosfos definitely remembered those two sugyas, and they definitely compared them. So Rashi says, Maleches Machsheves, as the Torah of Arena says Machshavtoi, but the Rosh has a different interpretation. And the Rosh says, by winnowing, by Zoyra, that is precisely what the Torah answered. Because there's no other way to do it. That's the way they did it, Bedor Amidabar. Behochechai Verachmana. It would be similar to Mevashel. There is no way in a man which a man can cook or bake without taking advantage of a natural force. There is no other way. So nobody asks, how is a person chayav mishum avashel? It's a groma. It's not his koyach. All he does is setting something into motion. He puts on a fire. He puts a pot on that fire. It'll take time. It's not immediate. And it's a groma. It's the fire that does the cooking and not the human. But that is what Mevashel is. That is what the Torah asks. So the Rosh says, Gram Kibui is not necessarily what the Torah asks. The Torah asks putting out a fire directly, not setting into motion a process that will come into fruition at some later stage. But winnowing, Bochechai Rechmona, that's the way it's done. So the fact that most of the Rishonim don't ask this kasha proves that most of the Rishonim accepted the Rosh's interpretation in the Sugim Bava Kama Daf Samech Malachas Machshav Sase Torah. So according to the Rosh, it's not, there's no stira whatsoever. And that to me would be the understanding why the Rishonim don't ask this question. So coming back halacha l'maisa, after this brief and yesodistic presentation regarding the concept of groma. So what do we have? We have Rashi and the Rosh. Two different interpretations of Baba Kama Daf Samech. According to the Rosh, we have no basis whatsoever to be mechadish that any groma would be an yesodiyuraisa. Because winnowing zoyra is not a groma. It's like mevashel. It's like zoreya. That is the essence of the malocha. Preparing a process. The essence of the malocha is taking advantage of a natural force to achieve your goal. And that is precisely what the Torah asserts. However, according to Rashi, what we learn from Baba Kama Daf Samech is, sometimes groma is an issa d'oraisa, if that is your intention. And then we have the contradiction. Why would that be different than Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof? So we just suggested four different drachot. Shilte Geboirim, Zera Emes, Achieza, and Mincha Sosha. And there would be an afkamina between one derech and the other. And obviously, this is a machloikis between Achroinim as well. Because the Mugen Avraham in Siman Reish Nun Beis says, if you have, is it a water mill? We have windmills, water mills. Who was the first person realize to achieve your goals, you need to take advantage of natural forces. In the history books, he's not defined as the first discoverer, but his name was Odom Arishon. It was dark and it was cold, and he looked for heat and light. He took two stones and banged them together, and he was the first to discover a natural force of fire, and to take advantage of a natural force. So man always realized that he is not a very strong being, and he can't achieve all his goals by pure might, and he needs to take advantage of koiches hateva that a Kodesh Baruch Hu put into this world. So man always took advantage of running water, the immense force of running water. And up to this day, power plants are built by huge rivers, and man builds dams and utilizes waterfalls and the power of water. We take advantage of the power of the wind once again. For many years, wasn't really done on a mass scale as it is today, once again producing electricity and taking advantage of wind. So once mills were either built on waterways, on rivers, and take advantage of the force of water, or fire, using fire to produce energy. So the Mughal of Rome says a simulational base. If you feed grain into a water mill when the millstones are turned by water, that's a groma, would not be considered in a city or Isa. And the Eben Oizer, not in relation to one based on this part, but Shin Chof Ches rejects the Mughal of Rome from the Sukkot and Bava Kamet Daf Samech. And the Sam Soifer Alagos and Shechanov says, no, Bava Kamet Samech has nothing to do. Boche Chai Verechmona. And it's interesting. The Eben Oizer and the Sam Soifer weren't aware that their machloikis is the machloikis Lashi and the Rosh in Bava Kamet Daf Samech on this part. So we have sources, Lachumre Velekula, the Rashi and the Rosh, the Mughal of Rome and the Eben HaOizer. Coming back to Groma devices. So when the device is manufactured and planned and produced and developed, it is the clear intention to achieve your goal, to do a malocha. So Lachoyra, all these devices have a problem with Bovekamed of Samach. Bovekamed of Samach, Malachas Machsheves Osel Toiro. Well, according to Rosh, it's not a problem. According to Rashi, it is. So on one hand, that is the reason I do recommend using these devices when you have even a remote pikuach nefesh situation. Because according to the Rosh, it's mutar. And as I explained before, in my opinion, most of the Rishonim follow the footsteps of the Rosh. And that is why they don't even ask about this contradiction. But Rashi is Rashi. And we cannot decide that the Rosh is right and Rashi is wrong. Rashi is Rosh HaMedabrim B'Kol Mokoy. And it is the same machlokes between Mughal of Rome and Eben HaOizer. And the Eben HaOizer was one of the great Achronim. So L'chatchila, we definitely have to try to steer clear. So those that develop these devices, and I do not want to sound critical, I have a kesher with all of them, whether it's the Machana Technology or Tzomet, and they're doing good work. But we have to be careful what we do with the results of that work. So I do think it's a chashash d'oraisa. So some of those devices are planned that there is a shihiya. It takes time from when you push the button till the light comes on or the machine starts moving. How much time does it take? 1 second, second and a half, 2 seconds, because time is relative. Not only Einstein discovered that time is relative, everyone knows. Waiting for a bus 2 minutes is not a lot of time. Waiting for your computer to come on 2 minutes is eternity. So nobody will use those devices if it takes more than a second or two till from when you push the keyboard and the letter appears on the screen. And I think that that is not what the Zera Emes means. When the Zera Emes differentiates between Gram Kibui and Zoyra, he doesn't mean a second. He doesn't mean something that is superficial. He means to say, by Gram Kibui, it's a process. It's a process. It needs to develop. It needs to come into fruition. The fire becomes bigger. The heat becomes more intense. The vessels might or not break up, and then water coming out. It's a process. That's what the Zera Emes means. It is not something which is superficial, using technology to spare another half second or second or second and a half. So therefore, I think that all those devices, aim behem kedei lehatzel mamalocha diuraisa, they are all questionable. And we do not steer clear from a chashash diuraisa with any one of those devices, and therefore, they are important, but only in suffik pikuach nefesh situations, because, as I explained at the beginning of this year, when you are dealing with organizations and bodies that are huge, and thousands of things happen, you know, in every given moment, and basically, whether it's the security establishment or it's the medical establishment, basically, the lives of people are totally va'oimed, then in those cases, I do recommend taking advantage of everything that brings a level of leniency, and after all, there is basis for kula, there is basis for leniency, but If there is no remote pikuach nefesh involved, I think it is a sveiket device, and those devices should not be used. So as I understand that my shiur is till 9 o'clock. It was a pleasure.
9:05.
Okay.
It's so relative.
So 2 minutes for a shiur is a lot of time. 2 minutes for divrei Torah. So let's take advantage of it. So the sugya of Gruma I have more or less wrapped up. So let me come back to the beginning of today's shiur. Let me come back to the Torah way. Kihi chayechem v'orech yomechem. We have Taryag Mitzvahs. But in many places, in Bavli and Yerushalmi, the Midrash Chazal teach us. And we say that every morning, the Mishnah Masechet Peyer. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Because Talmud Torah is the key. Talmud Torah is the derech. It's the way. It's the way to get there. We have Taryag Mitzvahs. And all have extreme importance. And we cannot say what is more important than what is less important. But we could say, the Torah is the derech. It's the way to get there. And that is why Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Ki hi chayechem v'oirech yomechem. So the Gemara says, a Makis Davyud, an amazing halacha. Talmud Shigolo Maglin Rabbi Yemoy. If a Talmud destroyed a life, Mishoigi, and Yischaev Golas, we sent the Rav together with the Talmud. And why is that? Because the Gemara said, the Pesuk says, V'nasa lachas ha'udam eile v'chai. He has to escape, find salvation, one of the Ura Mikla. And there it is that he has to live. So we need to give him life. And therefore we need to give him a Rebbe. And the Rambam writes, Perek Zayin of Hilchos Netzach, Chayei Balei HaChochma Umevakshero, Leloi Talmud, Kemisach Hashivim. That is not life. That is death. That is causing a person's demise. And therefore, we need to give him his Rebbe. And long ago I asked, what type of a Rebbe are we dealing with? What type of Rosh Hashiva are we talking about? Does he have one and only Talmud? And that one and only Talmud he produced is the Roitzeach. I think such a Rebbe should be sent home to write his Chidushim. He shouldn't be teaching. If all he has was one Talmud, and that Talmud is a Hurig Nefesh Bishgogo, he should look for another job. In Torah, I don't say he should do something else. So probably we're dealing with a proper Rosh Hashiva that has tens, hundreds, maybe thousands of Talmidim. So, why do we take the Rebbe away from all the others and we care only for that Talmud that needs to go to a Niyam Miklat? I mean, it is more than once that the Torah says, V'chai. It is not only in Parshas Masai, V'nasal achasa orem eile v'chai. Eile advorem mashiyas oisim odam v'chai behem. We all need to live. All those other Talmidim need to live. So how do we deprive them of their beloved Rosh Hashiva and Rebbe and we send them off to the Niyam Miklat? I think the answer is very obvious and very simple. We tell those all those other Talmidim, you could get in, he can't get out. So if you really love your Rosh Hashiva and appreciate him, and you feel that this is your life, follow him into the Yer Miklat. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Have a goyle l'mukum toira, achre Rebbe Kiva l'bnei Barak, achre Rebbe Eliezer l'lud, achre harav l'Yer Miklat. You could get in, he can't get out. So it is for him that we have to care. And therefore, we send the Rebbe alone. Because if he has to live, that is life. Ki hi chayechem v'yorechem eichem. As we say every morning in Birchas Kriya Shema, ki hei chayenu v'orech yonech. So when I was asked to come give this shiur here in the morning, I really accepted and I happily accepted because I think this is an example that we should adopt and adapt everywhere in the Jewish world. So having people that aren't learning all day and all night. Yes, they provide for their families and their communities, as we've done since Matan Torah. But starting every day with learning the Mismedesh, starting every day with the Shir, is a most remarkable and a most beautiful way to start your day. So, Techzeknu Yadechem. And you should all have brocha v'hatzlocha and nachas from your children. And the schus of Talmud Torah, we should desorcha b'kora b'yameinu to Yeshua Sisrael, to be as goyel tzedek b'mheiro b'yameinu. Amen.